It is such a pleasure to hear you.
Let me say what God said. Hold on.
Look at all the issues that is from bugging Barbados. I want you to make them a point of issue. I read the paper the other day with George Pano is making noise. Why should the Prime Minister appoint all these people? Come on, David. Mr. Ellis.
Mr. Bourne, give him a chance now. Give him a chance before you finish. Let me say what God said.
Talk to me. I listening.
I want the public to know that this man worked with me years ago. He left the company many years ago as well. But what intrigues me about his contribution today is listen carefully to what he's saying, because this is how he has always been. I thought that by now your politics might have been altered in one way or the other, but you have not changed at all, Ginger.
But you have not changed neither? I've been no work with you. I am finding it difficult to find out what side you on.
Anyhow, that is a good thing.
Listening to all the others that spoke on you, right? You got all the clips on you. You ever work at CBC?
Yes.
Right, okay.
I did.
But you didn't
stay. Hold on, Ginger. I run the program. Let me say to you that we are in a situation where I think voices are being thrown up. We've got Senator Franklin emerge as perhaps the most significant opposition voice in Barbados at the moment, for sure. His single voice eclipses the Democratic Labour Party and the rest of the party that he belongs to. There's a certain brashness and boldness with which he goes forward to take on these issues. There are some people who are using social media as well. They are articulating concerns about some of the things that emerge. But this question of the trade unions is a very important one. The style of the National Union of Public Workers leadership has become somewhat more, well, less contentious than it was previously. Maybe they're satisfied that they're getting what they want. No. The Barbados Workers Union, well, you know what has happened there. Former Senator Moore is now a member of Parliament, and we're waiting to see exactly what that does to the Barbados Workers Union and its approach to dealing with the problems that we face. But if you look across the landscape, the important thing is that there are still avenues open for people to express their point of view about what is going on. Now, there's still a lot of people who say nothing and do nothing. But there are a couple who let their voices be heard. Thank you very much, Mr. Bourne. Thanks for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you. David?
Hi.
Yes, you gave me a scare when I thought we were not going to be hearing from you anymore. Because as far as I'm concerned, you are at the top of your game.
Thank you very much. But I can tell you that, it's not just brass tacks, but there are other things that I want to do. I hope that I can still continue to contribute in perhaps a slightly different way. But Contribute, I will, for sure.
All right, so it's good to hear you. And I too want to join all the others. I wish you all the best in whatever you choose to do. But don't leave us. You're a voice in the wilderness. Yeah, what my point this morning is, though, I guess you might be the best person to help me, too, because in listening to the Prime Minister last night, I am trying to figure out what she means when she says, you don't have to go to church if you don't have the vaccine. I want you to help me with that.
You don't have to go to church?
Yes.
If you don't have the vaccine?
That is what... You listened to the thing in its entirety?
I didn't listen in its entirety because I had something to do. I had a meeting around 5:30. And I had to stop listening to go into that meeting. So I missed that portion of it.
Yeah. Well, this is why I wanted somebody with probably a better mind like yours to help me understand what she was saying. Because what I deduced from that is that you have to be vaccinated. And if you are one that don't believe in the vaccination, like so many of us, well, I don't want to say many, but quite, you know there are those of us out here who will not be taking the vaccine. And for me, a person that has gone to church all my life virtually, to say you don't have to go, to me, I didn't like the way that sounded.
Well, first of all, even if it were said, it would still have to be given force of law. And I don't believe that the government has made any such move. I've heard of no such decision by the government of Barbados to the effect that being vaccinated is now something that is mandatory, whether it is in government offices or in the church. And certainly the government doesn't have any say over what happens in the church, as far as I'm aware. So that would have to be left up to the church leadership. You might have misunderstood what the Prime Minister said, though, because
I hope so.
Nobody has taken that up as a major issue. One would have anticipated that if it were seen as such, then somebody in the media would have highlighted it as a major comment coming from the Prime Minister. So I don't believe, based upon what I have seen reported and what I heard from the Prime Minister, that you should take that seriously at all.
All right, it'll be interesting to hear, because I mean, it's still...
When is the last time you went to church?
Hello?
When is the last time you went to church?
Well, you know, you have to go virtually now. But
right.
I was there last Sunday.
Like virtually?
Virtually, yeah. I've gone.
And when would have been the last time that you went to church in person?
I went New Year's, Old Year's Night.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's the last
So thing. For you, what is it like making the transition from being in person to having church in a virtual setting? What is that like for you?
Ah, boy. David, is nothing like face-to-face, as you know. And mm-hmm. Me, I'm a hugger too, you know what I mean? So
okay.
I like to see people and hug them and talk to them and that sort of thing.
So you feel deprived?
Hello?
You feel deprived?
Hello? If I'm deprived?
Do you feel deprived of that?
Yes, of course. Very much so. All right. But I understand the reason for it, you know? The advantage, one of the advantages was that virtually you are really able to you know, be in contact with more people.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. So that was one of
the... So essentially one of the things you find is that more people go to church virtually than if they had to be there in person?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. But
and what about the participation? how do you find participation virtually?
Well, there are limits too, because what we were doing, we had like a Google Meet, and other persons were able to talk and so on. But there's still so much. There's still a limitation there as to, you know, how much. So let's say you have, for example, 25 persons, you know, and you wanted to correspond and have people input. It's still a little difficulty there, you know, as opposed to face-to-face. So, yeah, I think there are the advantages and the disadvantages, but I would like the time to come when we can go face-to-face again. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for sharing your experience with us. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Yes, well, morning. It's 11:15.
Good morning, David.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How are you, man?
Yes, I'm well, and you?
Now, you see, only last week I told you that you can't go and leave us. I told you that you have to stay at least another year. And I guess you noticed that you're getting lots of calls administering the same thing to you. So, Mr. Ellis, you got to take it into deep consideration and bowl a few more overs. You can't withdraw so soon. You cannot. All right. Ms. Ellis?
Yes, sir.
I want to throw two quick ones at you. I noticed the guy, Ginger. You're a good old friend, Ginger. You're good work. You're a good follower. Listen to me.
You talk so much politics and you're back in the station.
I can throw this at you. The reason why I can throw this at you is because he is hitting the ball on something that he threw at you before. Mm-hmm. Now, you remember he said to you that a certain trade unionist said every vote count. He said that to you. You remember? In his ambience, yes, no. Do you remember he said that to you? That the certain trade unionist said every vote count. And you were like in a jam. You did not reply. I think he hit you there. Suddenly, why you didn't reply?
Because I didn't hear it.
You didn't hear it?
No.
Okay, but I say this to say that, Mr. Ellis. I am one of the people who called this program before and said, I do not support a trade unionist to be an active politician. And Mr. Ginger hit the ball right on the nail this morning. I never supported it. I never in favor of it. Because...
Well, I need to. I've heard the arguments.
Don't laugh, David. Don't laugh, man.
I'm not laughing.
You're an outspoken man.
I've heard the arguments. I do not know that it is as easy today to straddle those two fences as it was in the past. It might have been a bit more challenging, but you know, I have an open mind on these things. And I wait to see how it actually plays out. I mean, you may come with a preconceived notion as to whether something can work or not. But the person who is at the center of it all has the capacity to be able to prove you wrong. So I wait to see whether you and I will be proven wrong in that regard. You know, it is also to be borne in mind that gender does matter. And gender matters in the sense that, you know, there's a lot more that is generally demanded of women in this society than is demanded of men. Because having to work at two different jobs, so to speak, and then having to deal with family and bringing up children or a child and that sort of thing, having to deal with elderly parents and all of those types of issues. I mean, it is harder for women than it is for most men in those circumstances who tend not to have to carry as much of that burden. So having said that, we have to wait and see how this one plays out. And it may very well be that the trade unionists in today's world may surprise us and be able to take on all of that and do well.
You're going to really wait for that, Miss Ellis. I will wait. I will. I got my doubts about that. But anyhow.
Sometimes Ellis, the doubts are wrapped up in politics too, you know. You know that?
That's true.
Because if you come here as a Dem and you decide, you know, well, from the very beginning, I can make sure that this can work. And I don't see how it can work. No, you see, but if she were running for my party, I'm sure that my party would make it work. That's how people are, you know.
So then, Mr. Ellis, why you don't make it constitutional? Why you don't make it constitutional?
That what?
That no trade unionist should be allowed in active politics.
No, that would be going too far.
You think so?
That's going too, of course, that's going too far. I don't agree with that.
Okay, all right, you let's stay there. All right, Mr. Ellis, why it is, I ask you as a former top journalist, why is that we in the, especially the Caribbean, with the exception of a handful, just a handful, why it is that they're not vocal when some of our leaders make decisions, you know? They sit down, they take it all, although some of the decisions might be decisions that leaves a lot to be desired. They will grump and hum, and they won't protest against it, they won't fight against it, they won't speak out against it. Why is that most of the Caribbean leaders, most of the Caribbeans like that, with the exception of a few? And you know the few, and I know the few. Look, for example, Mr. Ellis, have I asked a question of when was the last time you get a multi-choice of people protest or stood up against a leader in Barbados? You can't tell me last year or year. You got to go back. For example, a few years ago, was Sandy, the 50,000 strong that marched up Wall Street against
That wasn't the last time.
That's not the last time, but I throw back that as just mentioned to you that that's a long time ago. That was one. And prior to that, way before that, you remember the time when Eric Flay and his followers marched downtown with a coffin and they said that they're going to throw Barrett in the wharf? With the obsession that that's not true.
Trade unionists and business people marched in Barbados with the opposition, Barbados Labour Party, and Mia Motley dressed in white and that sort of thing, not so long ago as well. But, you know, what you have to do, though, is to try to understand the psyche of the Barbadian. I think that we make a fundamental mistake if we believe that Barbadians do not protest. They don't protest in the way that you expect them to. That is, they don't go out on the streets and behave badly. But you need to study the other ways in which the Barbadian shows protest on the job, especially the extent to which there are certain behaviors and practices that people indulge in when they are unhappy. You do your own analysis and tell me if Barbadians are as docile as you really believe. This is down to brass tacks. Somebody points out here that what the Prime Minister said is that if you haven't been vaccinated and you don't feel comfortable going to church, just don't go. That's the interpretation of what the Prime Minister said yesterday. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
David.
Hi.
I want to congratulate you on your retirement. And as my friend was lamenting, both of us was lamenting on you, especially her. She loves you so much. And I told her, you know, the only song I told her she could sing is What Am I Going to Do Without You? How Can I Carry On? That song. But I want to speak about insurance. Two things I want to speak about, the insurance and bank. And my the same friend, her mother has a prosthetic leg. And she went overseas. She had to go overseas and get an operation to take off her leg. And she was in an insurance here, but she switched insurance and she went to another insurance. And that was in the early 90s. So now the leg needs, she needs a new leg. And the insurance that she's gone to, they're saying that because she didn't come to them in the first place, that they're not paying for her leg, right? And the doctor now, who is only one doctor that is do that here, he's saying that he's not going to touch her, right? And she fall down about two or three times because of that. And my friend don't know what to do because she took out that insurance and they is about the, her leg, and now they're refusing to pay because they say that she didn't come to them in the first place.
Well, you know, one of the big problems with the insurance policies is that you need to read the fine print. And if you don't read that fine print, you can be left in a state of absolute surprise when something major happens and you're relying on the insurance policy to help pay the costs. So that's where the problem begins. Whoever bought the policy might not have paid enough attention to what the policy was saying. That's the difficult situation.
Yeah, but you take out the policy. You know, these people is so much liars. That's why.
Yeah, because you got to be careful. You got to be careful coming to the conclusion that she was lied to, because part of that responsibility rests with the person who is being insured. And if you get a policy, then you have to, if you don't understand what it is telling you, then you got to take it to somebody who can spell it out for you. So you as a third party might be jumping the gun here when you conclude, based upon what you've been told, that this person has been hard done by the insurance company, when they themselves might have been responsible for not paying enough attention or not reading the detail that was before them.
And now the bank, because of her falling down, because her leg is not good, she went, her mother took her to the bank, you know, she had to go for her pension check. The mother said she want to let her collect her, you know, take her pension check and thing it. But the bank now is telling her, she give her her ID, and the bank is telling her they want a bill in her name. She said,
yes,
the bill is not in my name. My husband is paid. They want a letter from the husband. This time the mother and her was in the bank. So, and they said they want a letter from the husband telling them that she lived there. I don't see. That is so much crap.
Because no, they want what they call proof of address. They want to be sure that that's where you really live.
Right, because and, her name is hyphenated, right? So they can see she has her mother name and her husband name. You understand?
Well, look, the problem here is that you have to look for some easy way of being able to get that information to them. I understand what you're saying, huh? Because first of all, if they were already in the bank.
Yes.
They're already in the bank, and you don't have the proof of address, then what is going to be demanded of you is that you have to leave the bank and go back home to be able to find this proof of address or get somebody to write the letter and that sort of thing. and it can be a big inconvenience. This is what has to be done in those circumstances, though. It is important before you actually get there that you call and find out what are the requirements so that you don't end up in that position. Now, you may tell me that when you call the bank, you may not be able to get through as easily as you want. That may be a different problem.
Yep.
But you got to be, it makes more sense to make the call before you go somewhere than to get there and then discover these are the things that people want of you.
But, David, you know, when you call any organization, sorry to say that, but you don't get you. You do not get through. You have to call, but for 2 or 3 hours, and you get fed up and just put on the phone. So you had to go to the place of business. You know.
To me, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't recommend that, because you know how much time it takes you to get from one place to the next, and if you have to take a bus, even if you have to drive there and that sort of thing, then to discover that you got to go back home to get this or to get that, it's frustrating.
Yes,
so it's better to make an inquiry on the telephone. The same thing applies to when you want to buy something. You know how many people decide, I want to buy an item and I'm going to go into town and look for this item, only to find that you go all over Bridgetown and you can't find it. It makes more sense to pick up the phone and look for the companies that would be associated with selling the particular item and ask them if they have it in stock. No, go to town and end up coming home empty-handed. To me, that doesn't make sense. But this proof of
the insurance
address and stuff like that has become something that banks and others are calling for quite a bit. And it has to be within a specified period. You must be able to show that you have a utility bill that you've had within the last 3 months or so. They don't want it for much longer than that, because you might have moved and you might be trying to trick them. You're talking about that. You all read that case with this guy who worked with the commercial bank, this court case that was in the newspaper, I think yesterday or the day before. Wow. And how this man stole all of this money and then went partying. And, oh, he did the dog, man. Said that the bank's procedures were weak, and he exploited the weakness in such a way that he was able to steal, I think, over $200,000 or so from somebody's account. But I found that case absolutely fascinating.